Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Matthew 28:19. That's the Great Commission. We're going to open with that one because we've been looking at this idea of the Trinity. And we're going to look at verse 19 through 19 and 20. We're going to say that together after we read the vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All right. Now that's what we're doing here. We baptized 18 a couple of weeks ago. And we have membership, we have life groups, and people discipling people. And that's what we want to do. I'm discipling four people myself right now. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, discipling people, helping people grow, and helping them become all that God calls them to. Amen? Now look at this. Teaching them, that's why we believe in teaching. We believe in Bible teaching. It's important to keep teaching. All things that I have commanded you, all things that Jesus, God, has commanded us, not man, all things God has commanded us. That comes out of God's wisdom. All the promises of God are connected to his wisdom, yes. Not man's wisdom. That's why we need the Bible. We need to understand. There was Jesus in Luke 2:52. It says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. We're following Jesus. Amen. If Jesus had to grow in wisdom and stature, we have to grow in wisdom and stature. And that wisdom is the wisdom of God. Amen? So that's what we're doing here. So there's that sign out here on, 29. And then there's one on 47. And it says, God is not three in one. But you see, that's really the spirit of the Antichrist is what that sign is all about. It's not biblical. But that's what the Antichrist is doing, out there trying to get people to see things and deceive them. But that's why we want to know the truth. Right. And the Trinity, God is, the Bible teaches the Trinity. The word Trinity is not even in the Bible. But you see it when you understand and you believe.
Right.
You know it, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, those three are one.
Amen.
And before Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. What? So that plan was already in place. Are you listening to me? Because Jesus was with God. Jesus is God.
Amen.
He always was and always will be. He existed always. Amen?
Amen?
So now, it says baptizing them in the name, not names, the name. See, when you say Jesus, you say them all. Because there's no other name, right? Given among men whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. So now, that's what we do in this church. Is we want to help people understand and the truth about the Bible. And the Bible is where we get our truth. And nobody understands everything, but we are growing and we are maturing in the Bible. And that's what we want to build our lives on, what the Bible is saying. And that's what we're about. Amen? So let's go to, we're going to start in Titus right now. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. We're going to do a little teaching here and the importance of what this verse is saying here. Okay, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." How has he appeared to all men? Because you know what? Everybody's heard about Jesus, haven't they? Yes. We making sense? Well, there's some people that haven't heard. Well, they'll end up hearing. Because there's people in every little nook and cranny on this planet out there with this word. I remember I got to preach in India where they hadn't preached the gospel openly in this community, in this village. Gospel had never been preached there, they said, because of the laws, and we had to do it late at night and sneak all the equipment in and do it all, you know what I'm saying? It was amazing. I loved it. And mosquitoes were biting us, and oh man, we were getting eat up with mosquitoes. But we were preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Right.
Wasn't easy, but man, what a blessing. They heard it and then they responded. It was such a we got videos of it. It was amazing. The gospel is the power.
That's right.
The power. That's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation."
Amen.
To them who believe.
Amen.
"For therein the righteousness of God is made known." The gospel shows you how to be in relationship with Him, with God. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at this. Titus chapter 2. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." All right, now. It says in Ephesians 2:8, "For we have been saved by grace through faith for salvation." Right? "We have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, lest any man should boast." That's what it says in Ephesians 2. So we're saved by grace. Now look at this. The grace, what's grace mean? Unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us do. You know, I did a pros and cons thing the other day on my life. And I started looking at my whole life. I've been reviewing my life as I'm seeing these people getting older and I'm getting older and going to these reunions. And I did a pros and cons thing. And all the cons way outweighed the reasons why Jesus accepted me and saved me. There wasn't really any reason why he should have saved me. Am I making sense? And he saved me anyways.
Amen.
You know what? That's the way it is with you. You haven't done anything good enough to be saved. You can't do anything good enough. We can't be good enough. Jesus is good enough, right?
Amen.
He's the one.
Yes.
Faithful.
And we believe in him. He's our God. Amen? Now watch. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now, give me the next one. "Teaching us." So how does grace teach you? Grace teaches you when you give it. When you give grace to people that don't deserve it, that teaches you. That's why I was telling you, the church, you need to value the church.
That's right.
Because the church is where you're being developed.
Amen.
By people. In 1 Peter 1:22, it says, "Since you have been purified in your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently."
Yeah.
"With a pure heart." The word brethren means, Adelphos is the Greek word, it means from the same womb. So we're all from the same womb if you're born again. And we're purified, how? Through the love of the brethren. In other words, my soul is purified by loving you and you loving me. I don't always feel like it, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You don't feel like loving somebody sometimes, but that's the development. That's what purifies your soul. Isn't that amazing? Remember, the word pure is the word catheter. That's what they put in people when they're septic in the hospital and they can't have a bowel movement. So they, to get the toxins out of their body. This gets the toxins out of our body. When you're in the body of Christ, it's designed to remove the toxins out of your body that are contaminating your soul.
Hallelujah.
Without the body, you can't do that. That's why I'm showing, we need to see the church for what it is and value it. And it goes on to say, having been born again, not of a corruptible. See, this is in 1 Peter now. I know I'm getting away from this verse, but I'm just trying to help you see something. Having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the word of God,
amen,
which lives and abides forever. Because the flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. For the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will endure forever.
Hallelujah.
And you see, that's what's purifying you. It's purifying you so you can have influence in your children, your grandchildren, the people at work. Wherever you go, you are going to be a faithful witness when you are plugged into the body of Christ. And you allow the love of the brethren, sincere love, to purify you. Am I making sense? This is why you can't get mad when somebody treats you or mistreats you. There's a reason for that. Huh? Trials and tribulations happen in the body. Are we making sense? Are you catching this? God is developing his love in you. Now think about this. God is doing a work in his church, the people, right now. See, here's what happens. When trouble comes, it talks about in Romans 5, it says that we glory in tribulations. The word tribulations is trouble. What's the word glory? What God originated and intended. I'm going to show you something, and it's going to bring freedom in your life.
Amen.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I wrote something down here I wanted to read to you here real quick. When you misunderstand or misinterpret the moment, your speech will get in the way. Your speech, your own speech, listen to me, it gets contaminated with the trial. Now look, and it affects your attitude. And your attitude comes from your heart. But your speech comes from your mouth. Out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You paying attention? We have to learn to manage our confessions. You see that? We have to learn to manage our confessions. Remember the word confession? Homo logo, to say the same thing. I'm not going to say what the devil's saying to me.
That's right.
See that? I'm going to say to God, I'm going to say what God is saying to me, and that's it.
Amen.
Did you catch that?
Yep.
How God sees the situation you're in is what he's trying to get you to see. When you participate in the enemy, with the enemy, in your adversity or your trial, you will actually empower the enemy for the evil that he meant to come into your life. Did you hear what I just said? You empower the enemy from your heart attitude and the words of your mouth by repeating it everywhere. Come on now. Because see, the enemy doesn't have authority over you. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I've given you authority." to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. By no means shall anything harm you.
That's right.
What he said, what he was saying is, serpents and scorpions aren't, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people poisoning you with their speech or how they're treating you. But when you show them love in response to how that protects you. Did you catch that? That protects you. And now you get what God has sent to you. Now look, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. What happens then when you get the devil, when you start speaking what the enemy's saying? You're incomplete, lacking everything that God was trying to get into your life.
Right.
Did you get what I just said?
Yeah.
You're incomplete, lacking everything that God was trying to bring into your life. When you get, when your attitude is contaminated by it and your speech. I told you I'm putting something on the table. That's meat. That's what we need.
Right.
We need to grow up in what we're saying. I love this verse in Psalms 112, 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. The NIV says, he will not be afraid of bad news.
Nope.
Of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
So I don't care how much bad news comes your way. When you're trusting in the Lord, you're going to be all right.
That's
in Psalms 112, 7. Psalms 112, 7. You're going to be all right because God is in control.
Amen.
That's why what you're going through, joy.
Yes.
God has allowed it, and he sees it. It's going to benefit you in your life.
That's right.
Did you get that?
Yep.
It's going to make your life better. We glory in tribulations.
Yes.
Knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is being poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? That's what's happening. God's pouring his love out in that difficult time in you. And that's what you need for yourself and everybody else in your life. His love on your life. He's delivered you from the powers of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Hallelujah.
I like it when you get to shout. This is important.
Amen.
Folks, listen to me. What we're going through has come to make you better. It's come to take you to a higher place. I was preaching a little bit in the bathroom this morning. Donita, I said, there she is. I said, Donita, and I told her something. I said, now, doesn't that make sense? God wants us to live at a higher place on the high road all the time.
Yes.
She says, amen. She says, we're going to take the high road at Russell Road. I said, that's right. We're going to take the high road at Russell Road. I had to repeat that. That was good. That hit my spirit. So, that's what we want to do. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
So now, teaching us that denying ungodliness, so let's just, someone mistreats you. Ungodliness would be mistreat them back. In the first chapter of Titus, it says that truth is what is in accord with godliness. So truth produces godliness. And that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to develop us to have godly responses and godly behavior. See, the book of Titus is really to help us understand how to live at home. Because it talks about in chapter 2 how the husband treats the wife and how the wife treats the husband. And it says you can actually blaspheme the word of God. Did you hear that? That word blasphemy means to profane and outside the realm of God. When you're acting out at home, it's getting on your children. Somebody said they were, we had some kids, a lot of kids, and they were just spouting off cuss words. I mean, just letting them rip out of their mouth. Well, that's what they're hearing at home. I'm not being religious. That's a big deal.
Yep.
Because you see, they're just learning that at home. You seeing that? And you know where they're learning it from? You, the people, the parents. That's why it has to start at home.
Amen.
Am I making sense? Yeah. That is a blessing, I'll tell you what. Let's look at this. Look at her. She got her Bible out. Look at that. I love it. I like it when you got your Bibles out. But make sure I'm telling you the truth. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now watch. Should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who loved us and gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. There's good works again. Then it says, speak these things. And that's what we're doing. We should be zealous for good works.
Yep.
And where's that developed? Right here.
Right.
Hebrews 10, 25 through 28. Stir up love and good works. Don't forsake the assembling together of yourself. That's what we're doing. We're stirring up love and good works so we can do everything God has called and created us for. When you're in that, you are fulfilled. You're not looking for anything. You are fulfilled. Says the satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. You see, when you're satisfied in your soul, you're not looking for anything else. You're satisfied. Are you with me? When you're happy in your marriage, you're not looking at anything else walking down the road. Amen?
Amen?
That's the way it is. It has to start at home. And that's what Titus is teaching. And Titus was sent to the Cretans. And the Cretans were noted for their lying. And he was a young pastor, and he was struggling to help them to be living this at home. But he was preaching the truth and helping them to understand. That's why he's saying, looking for the blessed hope. Now, give me the next one there, Tim. Looking for the blessed hope. What's hope? Joyful anticipation of good. You see that? This is the way we're supposed to live. Anticipating nothing but good in our life.
Amen.
See, remember? In Proverbs 13, 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The word deferred means to comply. It means to comply with the opinion and decision of another. To comply and to submit to the opinion and decision of another. Did you hear what I just said? That's what the word refer means. So when I'm not complying to God, I'm going to something else, it's going to make your heart sick. Did you hear that? But now when it says, goes on to say in that proverb, it says, when the desire comes, you end up with the tree of life. That's the tree of life means you're connected to the Zoe life, the life God has called and created you for.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
You're going through a trial. Remember, hope doesn't disappoint. In Romans, hope doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God is being poured out on your heart. You're going through a trial. I remember when my wife left me, that was a difficult thing. I mean, I didn't know which way to turn. My heart, I kept thinking she was going to come back. Are you listening to me? I could have got sick. I could have started drinking. I probably would have started drinking and started doing everything else and just lost it. I'd probably be dead, like I said. God was showing me this. Am I making sense?
Amen.
And you know what? Sometimes you can't depend on everybody. I got a hold of Charles Stanley. I got a hold of Henry Cloud, I got a hold of Focus on the Family, and they helped me.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost helped me. Are you with me?
Right.
I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing like that Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you're dependent on him, he'll get you through.
He sure will.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you with me?
Yep.
I'm telling you, he wants to reward you. Now look at this. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Who loved us and gave himself for us. He's redeeming us.
Hallelujah.
Now, one more thing. God wants you to see this trial you're going through. Every trial. Everything you go through. You get closer to the Lord. How do I do that? I get my word out. I get my word out. I sing praises even when I don't feel like it. Huh? Even when I don't feel it, I start singing. I start singing. And you know what? There's sometimes I got somebody I'll call, but seldom anymore. I'll tell you, I'm going to be real honest with you. I got her I can call. Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Right.
He'll put somebody in there you can really count on.
Sure will.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, sir.
Somebody who you know this is real. Making sense? Now think about this. But you hear me? If God didn't show me what he showed me, I could have never went out with her. Am I making sense? I couldn't have done it. I'm just trying to show you something, folks. God will help you. He wants you to depend on him. And I'm just trying to help you see this. In Numbers 14, pay attention. Joshua and Caleb are talking. I'm going to read it to you because I want to make sure you get it. Numbers 14. Numbers 14, and let's look at verse 6. Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I said that good. Listen, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land." Now this is Joshua and Caleb coming back with a good report. They said, "This is a good land." You see that? But all the rest of the spies, the other 10 spies, came back with a negative report, an evil report, and says that we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. You find that in Numbers 13. Now watch. But now Joshua and Caleb had a different perspective. That's what I'm trying to show you. There was a trial going on here. Now watch. To spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, if he delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Joshua and Caleb. A land which flows with milk and honey. They're the only two and their families out of all that bunch that made it into the promised land and possessed it. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Joshua and Caleb are saying all this. Don't fear the people. Don't, because God has given us the land. We can take it. He has promised us this land. We can do this.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.